It's about family. And the one thing about family is it's a family. When you're here, you're family. Family matters. Fate of the Furious was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier, and I'm here with two
children of divorce.
I mean, kind of, yes, sort of.
That's literally what I was about to say, and then I was like, "That's not nice."
Why isn't it nice? It's just an accurate description, even though it's like confusing and misleading in my case.
Right.
Mine too. I mean, my parents were never married.
Oh, okay, sure.
All right.
So both of us, it's sort of true, but
two
not
people
totally
whose
true.
Parentage illustrates the complexity of adult relationships. It's Camila Adams.
Or would it have made more sense because my dad did dress up like to be a nanny and came to take care of him? Was that more of a correlation? No. Seriously, no. He did not do that.
It was that or two slightly stale public radio educational show hosts. And Robin Hitchcock.
Hello.
Last time, Mrs. Doubtfire, 77 and two-thirds. That's not that high on our list anymore because we keep getting good movies.
Yeah.
77 plus is 32nd overall on our... It's not
wow.
in the top 30 for us.
Really?
Just behind The Good Son. The top 10 cutoff is up to 87 and two-thirds. You have to be like 88 or higher to get into our top 10. Ocean's 11 holding down that 10th spot. When Something Dethrones It, it'll be in Ocean's 11th.
I love it when that happens.
Think I've
seven.
Said that. Yeah. Seven held on to seventh for a long time. But family, it's the Fate of the Furious. We're back in the franchise. Unplanned, I brought part of my family.
Aww.
Peanuts here in the studio.
Yeah, if you heard any jingle jangles, that is a small dog's collar.
Yeah. Thanks to Camila for hosting and Robin for allowing a dog in her presence.
I am afraid of dogs. I'm sorry. I know that people think people who don't like dogs are monsters. I try.
There's a difference between being afraid and not liking.
Okay, but yes. Isn't there a lot of overlap there?
I mean, there's sure there's a Venn diagram there somewhere, but if you're just like truly afraid of them,
I feel like
you could be like, oh, you know, dog, but like to see a picture of a dog, like, oh, fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not like that. Yeah. Right. Listen, sometimes I see dogs and I go, oh,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm totally scared of you. Like,
yeah. Even tiny, tiny, tiny dogs like Peanut.
Just keep in mind, he's basically a cat. He is the size of your cats.
It's funny, Professor is smaller than him. Like,
really?
Peanut is small, and Professor is smaller than that.
It's so cute. What a good name for a tiny dog.
Professor Moriarty is his full name.
Oh my goodness.
Even better.
Peanut, you've been out-cuted. He's looking up at me like, huh? Fate of the Furious. It's maybe happened before. This is officially one of the times that we're doing a show that was covered on You Can't Handle the Truth. And maybe the first time you can listen to both. If you go back in your feed far enough, mm-hmm. you'll find from 2017 a You Can't Handle the Truth episode about the Fate of the Furious.
As well as a Theronathon episode.
Holy cat weasels. We got some bingoing to do.
Yes, my completism for the whole filmography of Charlize Theron podcast with Regina Connolly and Bob Shields. That was one of our earliest episodes, I'm pretty sure. I think that was our first we went to the theater and then reacted after episode. So similar to the old style of You Can't Handle the Truth.
Huh. I wondered if you were on that one. No, it was me, Aaron Clyra, and Liz Labaz.
I was just going to say, Liz Labaz.
Is the you know, self-proclaimed or just like, she holds the throne for all things Fast and Furious.
Pittsburgh's favorite Fast and Furious fan. Yeah.
I don't necessarily recommend you go back and listen to it. It's okay. This show's better. But
I really wanted to go back and listen to both that and, if I could, You Can Handle the Truth. And then also, if I could, the Nomi episode about the original Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to none of them.
Yeah. I got through the you can't handle the truth. My favorite part is when we, you know, joking are like, at this point, they have to go to space.
Yeah.
It took one more movie. One more
exactly
movie.
They just barely went to space.
They went to near space. They were outside of Earth's atmosphere.
No, they were in space, but just barely.
Right, right.
Just the tip.
Yeah.
It's just, so crazy.
Just a little penetration into... Not on the Earth anymore. In a car. It's not that they went to space. It's that they took a car to space.
These movies, man.
I also, Colin and I recalled, which I believe I talked about on this show, when we saw F9, there was a, you know how sometimes they do Nicole Kidman and the Coke ad, and then you think the movie's about to start, but then they're like, no, one more trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So they had one of those scenarios, and it was for some Jurassic World movie.
Okay.
And so... it was like dinosaurs grazing in a field. And we were both like, checks out. This is how Fast and Furious could easily start. Yep.
They got dinosaors now.
Yeah. I'd buy it. I mean, Tree of Life has ruined me for all movies. Dinosaurs could show up at any time.
I mean, I think in rewatching this and in re-listening to that episode, I've become very aware of how much this franchise has just worn me down into acceptance because I read my review of Fate of the Furious from the time, and it was like, all right, fine, sure, I guess. I think around Furious 7, it's like, I guess I like this a little bit, and Furious 8 was fine, let's do this, let's do it. And then by Hobbs and Shaw and the ninth one, I kind of like been backed into being a fan unwillingly. Like, I don't really care, and they're a little, I still think they're a little ridiculous, but they're fun while you're
a
watching them.
Right,
yeah. I mean, you know what? I get it. It's like, you know, I am, you know, diehard Scream and or Saw franchise. Fair. You know, and if you want to ride this ride, fine. I mean, this is not necessarily for me, the Fast and Furious. I don't know. I just, it surprises me how important it is to watch all of them, though.
You know? Totally. I was texting Liz while watching this, of course, and I was like, Liz, when did they stop doing crime? And she was like, it depends on what you define as crime.
I was like,
right?
Okay. It's like, all right, that's fine.
And I was like, okay, when did they stop doing crime? Except for in the service of preventing greater crime. And then she said, well, in the first one, they're preventing poverty, the crime of poverty.
Their like, poverty? Okay. Or
their,
like,
their own.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, so I was lost. So like, I don't even know what they do anymore.
Also, like, you know, you can get through this without knowing things. For sure. It's just vroom vroom, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are certain times, like, I like knowing things. It's, like, right. One of my core personality traits. And so, like, when Letty says to Jason Statham, like, we're not going to forget what you did.
Right.
I'm like, well, what did he do? Can I have a recap or, right. like, a flashback? Because I don't remember.
There's been so much, you guys have been doing so much exposition about everything else. And this one thing, you want to, like, leave that out? Okay.
And for the family of it all, this guy's definition of family is very broad. Because by this movie's concluding barbecue, there are three people there who have tried to kill him and everyone
exactly.
he loves.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And another guy, Kurt Russell, who they don't even know.
Right.
But suddenly, family.
Yeah.
Wait, did Little Eastwood get
to
go as well?
I was wondering that.
I think he was there.
And is his character's name Little Nobody?
That's what they were calling him. I don't know.
Okay.
Is Kurt Russell Mr. Nobody?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, I was saying yesterday, during the scene where Kurt Russell is bullying Scott Eastwood, that's his name,
okay.
I was like, Colin, I'm imagining Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell at a dinner party with Clint Eastwood and whoever, and Kurt Russell getting increasingly annoyed with Clint Eastwood's bullshit, and then like turning to Goldie and being like, I'm going to bully the fuck out of that guy's son. On camera, but like still counts.
I'm going to get paid for it.
Yes.
Wait, Camila, how many of these have you seen?
I know for a fact I've seen the first two.
Uh-huh.
I may have seen the third, Tokyo Business.
Yeah.
Maybe four. But I'm pretty sure there's a hard stop at four.
Four and five are the ones where I'm like, I think I've seen that. And
right.
six, too.
Wait.
The middle ones, I'm all like,
well, which
probably.
One? Which one has, like, Brian's ghost or something? or Paul
Seven.
Walker's ghost?
Seven is the one where Paul Walker had died, but they had some, like, pre-existing footage of him that they put into the movie.
Maybe I watched that just because, like, okay, Paul Walker's right. dead, and now let's see what they did. But right. I know there's some I'm missing in the middle.
Yeah, well, the middle is a blur. Yeah. If I've seen it or if I've not, I don't recall.
Because I, like, lost, like, with the, I was really into it the first one. And so we're like, yeah, let's go see the second one. Second one was like, all right, that's all I need. Like, yeah. the third one came out, I was like, Tokyo Drift, there's none of the, really, the original characters here. I don't want any part
I
of
really
it.
Enjoyed Tokyo Drift, and I can't believe they haven't done a direct sequel to Tokyo Drift. It's shocking to me.
So my question for you then, I mean, we did part one on this show
right.
last year. What's it like to go from one to
it's
all
it's
of this?
It's like somebody spun me around and then pushed me into a room with a bunch of people that I may have, like with a bunch of people I may have seen at one point in my life or met, but don't, you know, I'm expected to hold a conversation with them. Like I don't, because like some of the stuff. I tried to, like, really not get too deep into, like, you know, okay, a lot of the backstory.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, you know, there are funny moments. There are, you know, I like the banter between Rock and Statham. I enjoy watching Statham fight. Like, I love his fight style. It's like watching a fucking ballet.
Yeah. He's good, and he's maintained his goodness as he's gotten much more old.
Right.
And it's like, he is someone... Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe it's the director, the fight coordinator. But to me, he is someone who knows his limitations and knows how to choreograph a great fight or how to participate in the choreography of a great fight.
Yes. Yeah.
Contrast. Contra The Rock.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But so like they're so basically with my being like I'm a person who likes to know things.
Yeah.
There were several times I had to pull myself back and be like, you know what? Just let it go.
Right.
Because we're not, I'm not Googling anything.
Right.
And we're definitely not going to watch all of these movies.
Like,
today.
The Rock gets away with so much because he's an enormous person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He gets away with so much nonsense action because he's just like, look how big I am. And then even worse, Vin fucking Diesel. Who I got, like, actively mad at over the course of watching this movie.
Save it. Because really my whole thesis is, fuck Vin Diesel. But we'll get to that later. First, normally I would say if you haven't seen Fate of the Furious, if you have, it's not like you remember what happens.
Right.
So for even us in the room, let's tell you about this movie here with a 60-second recap. It's Camila Adams.
And good luck.
Go.
Cyber terrorist Cypher finds Dom in Cuba and threatens his family to make him come do something shady for her. Somebody official tells The Rock to assemble a team, so he calls Dom. Dom steals something called an EMP. The Rock gets arrested and ends up in the same jail as Jason Statham. Kirk Russell helps break them out. Kirk gathers Dom's family to help, and then Dom and Cypher come and blow up the place. Cypher has kidnapped some chick that had Dom's baby. Helen Mirren shows up and has a chat with Dom. Cypher takes over all the cars in New York City so she can steal nuclear codes. Dom gets the nuclear codes. His team catches up with him. He chooses not to kill Letty, so Cypher kills his baby mama. Fast and furious on ice, Cypher steals a submarine. Long story short, Statham saves Dom's baby. A submarine busts through some ice. Dom drives through some flames, and Cypher jumps from a plane. The family's back together.
All right.
And in 48 seconds. On the one hand, you nailed it. On the other hand, just like they're explaining the plot in the movie, I kind of just glazed over. Like, yeah. Whatever. They're the submarine. Right. It's raining cars.
When she starts taking over the cars, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I love that part.
I mean, it's
that's
great
the part
car,
where I'm like, yes.
It's great choreography,
yes.
If you will.
Great expression.
But I'm just kind of like, you know, and they say, you know, self-driving cars will be good, they said. You know, this
is why. I think that's part of the reason I like it so much. Also, that's one of those sequences where I'm like, they really drove cars off of buildings, right. And you can tell. And it's so weird how much better practical effects are.
Yeah.
Like, our brains know. They know.
I just think I get mad with just, like, city destruction like that in movies. Like, all the Marvel movies, they piss me off when it's like, you didn't have to do this.
Can we talk for a second? I'm sorry to be this person, but the filming locations in this movie are so confusing and weird. Are they actively switching between, because in the credits they list, I know I recognized Ohio, and I was like, oh, that New York is Ohio, right? Oh,
there is almost no actual New York in this movie.
Is it the roof? Oh, wow. Is the actual New York? Is
oh,
that
I
all
don't
they
even
have?
Think it's the roof. I think it's, I think
there
it's,
is
it's
some
secondary photography.
Oh, okay.
My understanding is anything in New York is even mid-scene bopping back and forth between Cleveland and Atlanta.
That was going to be my question, because then there were parts where I'm like, this looks like Marvel movie, which means Atlanta.
Right.
Yes.
No, all of that business with the self-driving cars raining down is Cleveland.
Right.
And Cleveland doesn't look like New York. Like some like Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver now, and you know, you can go Atlanta, places that look a little like New York. Cleveland does not.
I've never been to Atlanta, so I don't really know what it looks like outside of it. It looks like Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland for sure. It was like, that's Cleveland.
Yeah.
But we live so close to Cleveland.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, am I also remembering correctly that this was the first Hollywood movie to shoot in Cuba in a really long time?
It's in the Faxi segment. I mean, decades. So where is it? Was it the first since the 1950s, the first Hollywood movie to shoot in Cuba.
And it's Fast and Furious 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the world is healing. Turn back the doomsday clock.
I'm kind of like, I mean, cool, but like, did you need to? Like, you could have gone to the Dominican and called it a day.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. The scene really doesn't need to be in Cuba for any reason.
No.
But like, except, you know, I don't know. Everybody wanted to go to Cuba.
I mean, that's
F. Gary Gray directed this. I feel like he had a lot to do with that. It has to be in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Is she Cuban?
No, I don't. Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think he just wanted to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he should get what he wants.
Well, Fate of the Furious opened April 14th, 2017, the ninth number one movie of that year. That was Easter weekend. Won the 4-day with $107.3 million. There were no other wide releases. Second place was the third weekend of The Boss Baby. 18.8 million. That is a strong opening weekend domestically. It remains in the top 75 opening weekends ever. But at this point, this franchise is nothing if not global. We don't talk about the international box office here because it's not in the title of our show, the number one movie in America. But also because it's not really a fair comparison. You know, if you go country by country, different things are popular. Different countries have their own homegrown movie markets that compete. It's hard to get these comparisons, but it's very relevant in this case because Fate of the Furious' worldwide opening weekend was $532.5 million. At the time, taking the record as the biggest worldwide opening weekend of all time, ahead of Star Wars Force Awakens, it is still the fourth largest opening weekend of all time globally, behind only Avengers Endgame, Avengers Infinity War, and Spider-Man No Way Home. It just made all the money. It made everything everywhere all at once. Stayed at number one for two more weeks in the US and in the top 10 for 7 weeks. It did kind of fall off here, relatively speaking. After that first weekend, it added another like $120 million. Its total is $226 million. That's less than you expect than a movie for a movie that opened with $105 million in 4 days. It's 12th overall for 2017, which is, you know, it's a hit. But like, Logan made more. Despicable Me 3 made more.
I think it makes sense when you think about, in the U.S., there are people who like these movies, and then there are people who are like, I get it. Mm-hmm. And the people who like it are going to go see it right away because it's fun and exciting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the people who are like, okay, whatever, probably aren't going to see it in the theater ever. So it makes sense to me that it had short legs.
Not the case around the world. Again, much different story. $226 million in North America. It made a hair over a billion globally.
Right.
Domestically, it is the number 173 movie of all time. Globally, it's number 22.
Right.
Worldwide box office, this is the 22nd biggest movie of all time.
And the theory behind this is that the dialogue is insignificant.
The dialogue doesn't matter at
all.
That
makes sense, yeah.
And also, like, I guess that it's like a multicultural cast, but I really think it's mostly, who cares what they're talking about?
Right. Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Also on the list of the most expensive films ever made. It costs something like $270 million to make this movie.
Goodness.
The upcoming Fast X, which is out in May.
Aren't we just calling it Fast 10?
All right.
Okay.
Whatever.
So you could say Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Fast 10, your seatbelts.
Okay.
Correct. Much bigger budget. Fast 10, $340 million budget, the seventh most expensive film made to date.
I hope it shows on camera. Is F. Gary Gray directing that one too?
No.
I don't think so. Isn't it back to somebody who did some of these?
No. Lewis Lettner? Lettier?
Don't know.
I feel like we'll figure it out later. That is out in May, allegedly the first half of a two-part concluding thing.
Yeah, right.
Seems,
I know. Lies you tell.
Seems silly to stop with a nice round 11 in the main series. Maybe Vin Diesel loves prime numbers. The most successful film in this franchise, by the way, is Furious 7. That had the bigger opening weekend, the bigger domestic, and a slightly bigger global, even with this gigantic billion-dollar global gross.
And I do think that's because, as Camila referenced, people were like, what are they going to do about how the secondary main character is dead?
Right.
And the answer was nothing.
Right. So, yeah, so he's not, the character is not dead.
Correct.
No. He drove off, and there's a little bit of dialogue in every movie, like, he's off living his life. It's all right. We don't need to call him in for this one.
Yeah, there was like they mentioned something in this one. We told Brian and whoever we're not going to. But why bother naming your son after him? Like, whatever.
Because Vin Diesel also named his actual real-life child after Paul Walker.
I mean, I get that. Yeah. But, I mean, it would make more sense if Brian was dead.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Instead of just living his life.
Brian is like Schrodinger's cat. He exists in a flux state between alive and dead.
Okay. I listen. This movie, it wasn't explicit, but in the barbecue at the end, Letty was like, he'll be here, don't worry. She's talking about Brian.
So he's supposed to be coming?
He'll be here later. At the end of Fast 9, Brian's car drives up, and they just cut away before he gets out of the car.
Oh, I forgot that happened.
He's going to be in this fucking movie. I swear to God,
he's going to be. Like the ghost? Like a freaky digital hologram. Recreation?
He's got two brothers that look like him. Oh, you barely have to smooth over. Yeah, you're going to have to mess with the face a little bit that much.
Yeah, think Aaliyah.
And they probably...
And Queen of the Damned.
Oh, God. And they... Probably this is the kind of series where when they were like, okay, Paul Walker, who's doing nothing else, we're signing you on for 5 more of these. Mm-hmm. They probably were prescient enough to be like, and you're going to give us the likeness.
Right. Yeah.
Well, into eternity. Yes. Right. Which is a hard thing to not sign because you're dead. Who cares? But also I kind of care.
I hope he at least, I mean, maybe they're going to do it. Maybe I know they were talking about it at one point, and then they were like, no, we're not going to throw us off the scent. So that when he walks in 2 months, we're all like, but you're a ghost.
But isn't the reaction really going to be like, oh, my tummy hurts? Like,
that's how I felt about Ghostbusters, whatever it was.
Yeah, I just don't think that audiences are going to be like, yeah, because we know.
I think nothing against the Fast and Furious fans. I think they'll be cool with it.
Okay.
I feel like that's a certain, like, that's, they'll be like, yeah, dude.
Well, the one thing we know is that a list of people, including Vin, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese, everyone, if you shaved this movie into the good actors and the bad actors, all the bad actors have such boners for this franchise. They are so obsessed with these movies. And Vin especially talks about it like he's giving his family speech.
Yeah.
In real life, I think if Paul, and every indication is that it's true, if Paul Walker was anything like Vin Diesel, if you had asked him, hey, if you die, can we CGI you into 50 more of these movies? He would have said absolutely, because nothing is more important than the Fast and the Furious.
I mean, he died racing a car,
it hurts.
What else? Oh, this is in the numbers we care about, the domestic box office, this is the third most successful behind 7 and 6. Obviously did better than 9. 9 was still...
COVID time.
It was post... depths of the pandemic, but pre-Top Gun. Those are the three phases. Nobody's at the theater. Some people are at the theater. Everybody's back at the theater.
Yes,
this is in the middle.
That was my first movie back. I bookended my not going to the movies during the pandemic. My last movie was Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And my movie back was F9 and What a Double Feature.
Right?
My last movie was Chucky. And my first back was Scream 5.
That's so unreal.
Oh, you waited a while.
Yeah.
I was at the drive-in 72 times, but in the theater, my last one was Kurosawa's High and Low.
That's nice. Fancy.
Roadhouse Cinema. Yeah. And then the first one back was Shiva Baby at the Manor.
Oh, also fancy.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm wrong, because somewhere in the middle, we did rent out like one of those cheap theaters and saw Candyman.
Oh, good call.
So...
As mentioned, I saw this twice at drive-ins, Was I going to the theater by then? I don't know. I feel like I saw this twice at drive-ins, which is good because you're in a car and there's cars around you. It's a good drive-in movie. No, Fast 9 is the one I saw. We'll land on that eventually. Allegedly, the reason there are no mid or post-credit scenes in this film is because they would have set up Hobbs and Shaw. But Vin Diesel is, as Dwayne Johnson put it at the time, a candy ass and wouldn't allow any promotion for Hobbs and Shaw in this movie.
Okay, but isn't that what The Rock was just accused of regarding Shazam?
Like, or Black Adam? Or
like he wouldn't put Shazam in the Black Adam credits. And then the people, Shazam people, were like, our movie didn't make any money because The Rock. Which
maybe because bogus. I think it has something to do with the dude that that's Shazam, right?
No one cares. I think it's more, less people don't like Zachary Levi, even though he is weird. But it's like, just that movie, the first one was like, okay, this is good.
Right.
But it's not a movie that I'm like, yes, the sequel in the theater, bring it on. No.
I'll get to it and you can't handle the truth.
Okay. But this is, he was like, I guess that's the move, is what I'm saying.
There's an iron. Well, you can write that term paper if you want to, but Black Adam post-credit spoilers. There's one post-credit scene and Superman shows up.
Right.
So if it's like, should we get Shazam in there? No, fucking Superman
right,
is here.
Yeah. Why do you
we
need
don't,
Shazam?
We don't need, you're the, is it still Vincent to say you're the stepchild? You're the stepchild of the already broken DCEU. You don't get to come into a movie when we have Superman waiting around.
Is it Henry Cavill Superman?
Yeah,
Henry Cavill Superman shows up at the end of Black Adam. Huh. And yes, The Rock was way too precious about Black Adam, which is a mediocre ass movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible. I hated it.
I never finished it.
Yeah.
I mean, he got really serious about Black Adam and got a Black Adam teaser put in at the end of DC League of Super Pets because he was really dedicated to this. And it ranges from meh to bad in this room and most others. The difference here is this will lead into fuck Vin Diesel. Allegedly, the producers wanted to do spinoffs, which whether or not you're into this, great. You've got a million characters.
Yeah, right.
This shit always makes money. If you want to keep a franchise and don't want the same 10 people in an escalating series of...
Who are getting older and older.
Yeah.
Do some spinoffs. Good idea. So the way I see it, what happened was they start working on this. Vin Diesel gets a little pissy because this is his baby and the only important thing... I mean, the only like lasting culturally relevant thing he's ever done.
Right.
I mean, he's in Guardians, but he says three words. Yeah. And then while Fate of the Furious was being made, they announced that the studio is going to drop Hobbs and Shaw next and delay Fast 9.
Right.
It was supposed
which
to be.
Which is what they did, too.
Which is what ended up happening. It was supposed to be this came out in 2017 and then Fast 9 was supposed to come out next. They were like, no, we're going to move forward with Hobbs and Shaw first and delay Fast 9. And Vin Diesel lost his shit.
Okay.
One day, apparently refusing to show up on set on a huge production day. So the entire crew, hundreds of extras, every other member of the cast is waiting there. And Vin Diesel's just like, nope, I'm not showing up.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
And then takes it public. The Rock might have taken it to Instagram first, but Vin Diesel has done plenty as well. Basically saying... You're turning your back on family.
Right.
Basically saying you're not being loyal enough to us. My guy, these are fucking car racing movies. We are not. And we've made 10 of them.
Right.
Calm the fuck down. But started this whole pissy feud with The Rock. And you know why? Because he knows The Rock is more popular and talented than him.
Yeah.
This is what doesn't make sense to me is if you don't like The Rock and you don't want to work with him. Let him go be in his own movies,
right?
Because it often feels like in the last few Fast and the Furious, they're like, and now for The Rock's contractually obligated screen time, right?
Yeah.
So exile him to the spinoffs, Vin Diesel, and then he'll probably just make a cameo from there on out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the fear was, which was very founded, that they would eventually become more popular. That if you started with Hobbs and Shaw, who are two of the best characters here, and if you had kept going with that, that would become the main thing.
Right. But also,
it didn't really work out that way. Hobbs and Shaw did well, but not great.
But I also think that that's just natural. And Paul Walker is dead. And the rest of the family cast, like I said, they're getting older and older. Not like Jason Statham and The Rock are young. But,
they have a lot more to offer. Yeah. Just like talent-wise. Yeah. And like, I mean, just their fight scenes alone, that aside. But they are funny together.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Like, they do have good chemistry.
And it's not in like a cheeky, like cheese ball way. Like, those are actually like good like, I enjoy watching them banter with each
yes.
other.
Yes.
And
I mean, that is, as much as I was shitting on The Rock earlier, like, one of his acting superpowers is banter. Yeah, he is good at banter. He's good at buddy cop.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Vin Diesel is wrong. It's the long and short of it.
Yeah. that when they finally break and laugh at each other, that wasn't in the script.
Oh, really?
Jason Statham just couldn't keep it straight. When he was,
that's funny.
He's like, knock your teeth so far down your throat, you'll shove a toothbrush up your ass. Yeah. Jason Statham just lost it. And then it's like, I guess we're friends now. I couldn't keep it straight.
I like it.
I love him and his brother on the plane. Him with the baby.
Yeah.
Is so good.
It's adorable.
And it shouldn't be. It's tacky, but he just sells it.
He does. Even like there's a moment where his baby's got the headphones on. He's got this look on his face.
Mm-hmm. That's a good baby actor.
Right? Yes.
But back to fuck Vin Diesel. This one especially asked him to be an actor, asked him to have feelings because he's turned around, and boy, was he not up to that task.
No.
Even
when he's like, if I don't shoot my girlfriend, they'll probably kill my baby. Like, that's a big moment,
right?
Emotions-wise.
And still, it's just, I was like, I'm sorry, did she replace him with a robot? Like, is this what this, because, like, is there something, is she have a chip in his head that he's just kind of operating automatically? Because you are not giving me anything here, Vin.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Michelle Rodriguez is not a good actress. I just watched Dungeons and Dragons. She's not a good actress. It is not the material. It's her.
She's very limited.
He is almost unwatchable, you know? They had to bring John Cena in to work off of him to provide some charisma. And John Cena is, I'm joking because John Cena is not, you know, Captain Charisma either. But they do.
I disagree.
They do look like they could be brothers. When you saw Fast 9, when you're like, yeah, I buy it. You do look like brothers.
I don't remember John Cena's.
Diesel's brother
in Fast 9.
I have no memory of this.
That's the whole thing. It's the one where actual family shows up and it's bad family.
I will say that while I was talking about this, my friends were like, Robin, Oscar winners and nominees in the Fast and Furious franchise, go. And I got a few out there. And then I was like, there must be more. So I started scrolling through each cast. Mm-hmm. And then I reached the point of like, well, there's a lot of people who could be nominated at some point. And I was listing them off. And then I was like, I'm trying to remember who now and I can't. But anyway, regardless, I was like, you know, and John Cena.
No.
Because he's so funny.
He's great.
It could happen.
We all love him. He is more versatile, if less bankable, than The Rock.
Yes.
Correct. The Rock is obviously going to sell more tickets, especially around the world. But John Cena can do a little bit more.
I have zero interest in watching John Cena lead an action movie. I want none of that.
No.
But I want him to have little comic relief parts in everything.
What does this have to do with the fate of the Furious?
Very little.
Who the fuck is Elena? This is the other thing with these movies. There's always somebody coming back, and I'm like, did you expect me to remember you?
Who is Elena?
His mother of the baby.
Oh, okay. So while Letty was presumed dead,
right,
she had an affair with like the FBI lady or like the Interpol lady
or something like that
who was involved. And also, I'm not 100% sure it was actually like in the movie. It might have just been like they flirted. And then later it's like, oh, and also procreated.
Charlize, great.
Okay, here's the thing about Charlize.
What can you say?
What I can say, and I hate saying this, but it's true. I think this is the least attractive she has ever been on film outside of maybe Monster. And I'm not even sure, like, I'm not even going to be like outside of Monster, full stop, period. That wig is a crime.
You know what? Like, thank you. Why? Like,
why?
It's not 2000. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was the year 2000, that would make sense to me because, girls were doing that thing. Yeah. Christina Aguilera dirty. Like, you know.
Yes.
But this, why?
It's always been awful. It's always looked bad, not been appropriate. Or it's been appropriative rather than appropriate,
exactly.
Let's say. And Let's go back to it looks bad.
Yes, it's just, and it's like, you know, and even when Angelina Jolie was did it in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Also looked terrible.
Looked terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like, I why?
Like, she could have just had her badass, like, short haircut like she normally does. Like, in one of their little surveillance photos, she was rocking that.
Yes.
So why? Why?
Also, like,
when would she find the time to do all this?
I mean, it has to be a wig even in the world,
even
right?
In the world.
Yes. in the film, that has to be a wig, right? Listen, if I were Cypher, I'd be wearing wigs exclusively.
What hair did she have in 9?
I have no memory. Why don't I? This maybe
it's the first movie you went back to. There was a whole pandemic. You waited for Fast 9.
But I just saw it the one time and I don't remember. Yeah, and then additionally, like, her character's resting bitch face, plus it feels like her Botox was, like, a little bit too fresh. Like, I'm sorry. I don't like nitpicking women's appearances, especially when we're talking about, like, the most beautiful woman in the world. But I'm gonna.
I wasn't very into her line delivery.
Yeah, she just... I mean, like, she's making a choice.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily think it's the best choice.
No, like, I understand what you're trying to do here, but it's just not working.
And then in the last act, she finally is reacting to things. Mm-hmm. Like, she does a couple, like, yeah, come on, go get him. And I'm like, this doesn't seem correct. Right. This doesn't match your character.
You just spent, like, an hour and a half, like,
just being
establishing stone
face. Stone faced, yes.
And now all of a sudden, like, you're hyped because, I mean, I guess, you know, she launched a submarine.
I was going to say, like, almost anybody would be a little bit animated after launching a submarine.
It's a lot.
All of this said, great action sequences. 2 times out of 3, they hit the fun, fast stuff, you know, the crew being. I like the opening sequence a lot. I think they should do shorts. I think they should just be doing an 8-minute chase scene. And popping it out on the front of some other Universal movie. That'd be a better use of these characters at this point, because that's a nice self-contained. My cousin, who we've never mentioned before, has the worst car in Cuba. I know what we'll do. Great.
Here's the thing is that I got really excited when I saw the Fast 10 trailer, because I was like, oh, they're actually going to race in this one. And then we started this movie, Fate of the Furious, and I was like, oh, they actually raced in this one, and I forgot it completely. So
because it's no real point other than to establish.
Cool.
I mean, it's cool, but it's also to, I guess, establish, like, when Dom drives through the flames again, it's like, oh, we come right back around full circle.
Right,
he's driving in flames again.
Well, that's also what got me fixated on who was doing what level of stunt work, because when he drives the backwards flaming car goes off the pier, but Dom rolls out of it while it's still on the ground. Mm. And Colin was like, that's a gimme. That should have been a stunt person flying out of the car as it falls into the pier, right?
Right.
And I was like, Vin Diesel won't let people do stunts for him, and he's not capable of doing that stunt.
He won't let people do stunts for
him. I don't know.
Vin is just like coming, like, he is terrible.
He's all ego.
Right, yeah. Like,
very little man.
You know, yeah, seriously. And where's even, like, you're not that great to be doing all this, sir. Like, you had, like, a good run.
Yeah.
In, like, the early 2000s, like, you know, leading up to Fast and Furious. And then, like, we were taking you seriously for a hot second. You know, and then now you're just kind of like, oh,
you're the guy in the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, you're Fast and Furious, dude.
Yeah.
Relax. Let's just bring it down a notch.
All of that's correct. I like this.
Me too. I've only said negative things so far, I think. But, like, at the end of the day, this is fun. I had a good time.
I probably like this less than I did the first time.
100%. All of these movies are by far the best the first time you see them, when you haven't had time to think about things, and in the theater.
In the biggest screen, biggest, loudest screen possible.
I thought, there was a lot of stuff that I did chuckle. Like, Tyrese, much funnier than I remember him being.
I'm sorry, continue, but we have to put a pin in Tyrese because I have things to say about him.
Okay, so there's that. I love the little warrior chant that the Rocks
with the soccer
team was doing. That was adorable.
That was very cute.
And 3, the so-called threat that the Rock gives to Statham is saying he's going to beat his ass like a Cherokee drum. It's like, it's not much of a threat as you think it sounds.
That's
like, don't
threaten
me with
threat.
A good time.
Yeah.
Like, beat my ass like a Cherokee drum. Well, sir, but Tyrese.
Yes. Tyrese, I love that in you know, they try to replace Vin Diesel with Tyrese in Too Fast, Too Furious. Vin Diesel wouldn't do Too Fast, Too Furious.
Really?
I don't know why. He had clearly had a change of heart about the family. And it failed. It didn't work. I love that they weren't like, and he was never heard from again. They were like, let's just retool the character and pretend he was always this way. And Colin said early in the movie, he was like, I wish that there were a nerd, right? There should be a nerd in the team. And I was like,
Ludacris.
I was like, it is Tyrese and Ludacris.
Tyrese and Ludacris?
Yes, they're both like the uncool ones, right? Oh. Ludacris is the smart nerd or the geek, right? Mm-hmm. And Tyrese is the loser nerd,
really?
Right? That's my read on it.
Colin's
gonna appreciate that you're both like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Ludacris is like the smart one, and he's like this, and also the girl from Game of Thrones.
Yes,
who is
her name. That is the actor's name, unfortunately.
Is also the super smart one.
I always like her in everything, and I'm like, oh, the girl from Game of Thrones.
One of these days, I'll take the time to get to know her real name. I don't even remember her character's name from Game of Thrones. But another thing about Tyrese I just saw earlier today is there's some Instagram, and I don't know how staged it is or whatever, but there's like a video of him reacting to a video of his ex-wife or girlfriend or something saying how Tyrese was never her type and Paul Walker was.
How does he react?
And it's just, I mean, which makes me think that he's okay with it, or it's staged, or something is planned, because it's like there's another girl in the video with him, and she's like trying to like touch him. He's like, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. As he's watching it, he's like, no, don't touch me. But it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know how much of it is true or whatever, but it was funny to me that came up in my Instagram feed, even though I never Google anything about Tyrese. I never liked anything about
Tyrese. The algorithm knows.
Tony is the algorithm. Since you brought Colin into it, I wrote down one thing that Mary Beth said, and I don't remember the context. She just said, it's about their lifestyle. They live too fast and maybe too furious.
Yes.
Thank you.
When Charlie says, why live a quarter of a mile at a time when you can live your whole life that way? What does she mean? What does that mean?
Isn't that what he was saying?
Right. It's contiguous or continuous quarters of miles.
The dialogue, not a strength. Not a strength here. And yet there's plenty to like. You know what? I give it a 73. How's that?
What did I give Mrs. Doubtfire?
69.
I'm going to give this a 68.
This is one less than Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay, I buy it. Camila?
69, because it just seems on brand.
Yeah. This movie does what it sets out to do. And it deserves credit for it.
70. Even 70. Sure.
Kind of sucks its own dick.
It's very, very true. Usually we do these segments first, but what the hell? The trailer.
They're still on us.
These guys are taking this personal.
Phase two.
Phase two? What's phase two?
Bounds away.
Holy sh!
You know what I like about you, Dom? You're a genuine outlaw. But you're his family.
The hell of a job, brother.
He's about to go up against the only thing they can't handle. You.
Dominic Toretto just turned on us.
I don't know why he's doing this, but that wasn't Dom.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism. And now, she's working with your guy.
Ouch.
This is impossible.
Which is why you're gonna need a little help.
I will beat you like a Cherokee drum.
Oh, it took longer than I expected. If you're gonna catch Dom, you guys are gonna work together.
Surprise.
I just fell in love.
I've been waiting for this.
We got a tank.
Let's roll.
Oh, shit! We're gonna need a bigger truck.
Dom! You gonna turn your back on family?
Yeah.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Sure. Action. Excitement. Yep. Sure. I'll see your movie. Whatever.
Fast and Furious. Cars go vroom. And it's like, why? You don't even really need to do
the this trailer. One should be easier for me to cut into the episode than the original Fast and Furious, which was just vroom, and like maybe one like, hey. And I was like, I guess family. That's what goes in there.
And in Letterboxd, we are back to one of my favorites, unique MPAA rating reasons.
Ooh.
Rated PG-13 for prolonged sequences of violence and destruction.
Correct.
Basically saying you overdid it.
Yeah.
Fucking overkill, guys.
This is a little much.
Real excessive.
They drove cars off of buildings.
To the bingo card. We are certainly crossing off.
Car mechanic,
that's on there. One of us has previously podcasted or written about.
Yep. Underwater shot.
I have a bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Are we able to do a movie draft before April 15th?
What's happening April 15th?
You can no longer vote in Twitter polls unless you give Elon Musk money.
Oh, fuck that dude.
Yes.
We'll get this on before the 15th. Because this will go out.
Okay, our final Twitter movie draft.
Correct. The last time we will do a movie draft on Twitter. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Movies, they're around. Robin, what have you seen?
So little. I didn't get a chance to see John Wick because I was working a lot last weekend. And then the day that I could see John Wick, I was like, Colin, let's go leave our house for once and go see John Wick. And he was like, I can't leave the house today. But things I did see include nothing interesting for sure. The Boston Strangler movie that's on Hulu with Keira Knightley.
I almost went there.
It seems like I am the exact person that that movie was made for, and I still thought it was very not even quite fine. Like, it's just dull.
That's what
and
I heard.
Keira Knightley's American accent is just off-putting. Like, it's not like it's bad. It's not like you don't sound American. It's that watching an American accent come out of that woman's mouth feels incorrect.
It's like you're watching a dubbed.
Yes, it does feel like that. And it really like hindered my enjoyment of the film.
Take you right out of it.
Yes.
She doesn't try to do a Boston accent, does she?
No, she was forbidden. Her and Carrie Coon, both. The director was like, we're not doing that. Needed more Carrie Coon. What doesn't? I also watched Judgment at Nuremberg for the first time. Really interesting movie. I wish I had watched it before fascism came back, because a lot of that movie is like, yeah, fascism is bad, but it's also really hard to bring it to justice, so should we? And I'm like, yes, we should, movie. Shush, Maximilian Schell, shush. But I am glad that I've, crossed that off my quest list.
I see that the spring of Inisherin drove you back to In Bruges. Had you seen it before?
I hadn't. No, my Letterboxd review is this reminded me of watching X after watching Pearl.
Sure.
Which is true.
What do you think of In Bruges? It's pretty good.
I liked it a lot. I like Banshees better. Going back to my Letterboxd reviews, when I first reviewed Banshees of Inisherin, I'm like, my opinion of this movie is pending. I was like, I can't decide if I think this is brilliant or just okay, and it's embarrassing for Martin McDonagh that he doesn't know about teenage girls. I've decided that I don't care what the creator thought. Death of the Author, that's a movie about teenage girls, and I love it.
Great. And you got that confirmed by watching In Bruges?
Yeah, I think kind of. Yeah. No. I think I was already on the... Actually, I love Banshees of Inisherin, and I don't care what the director thinks it's about, or the writer-director thinks it's about. Similar to Mother.
Right.
Which is just like, I don't care what you think this is about. I know what it's about.
Headcanon. We call that headcanon.
Okay, there you go.
Great. Those are some movies. Camila?
After years of wanting to watch it again, finally, The Vanishing is now streaming on something. It wasn't streaming.
What is The Vanishing? That sounds super familiar.
93, Jeff Bridges and Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, the one that's a remake of a French movie and they changed the ending and everybody's mad about it for all time?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I've been wanting to rewatch it for a while. Like, I saw it in 93. Yeah. I remember enjoying it then. And it's streaming on HBO now. And I watched it, and it still holds. It's just as good as I remember it.
Okay.
I still enjoy it. Very, very, very young Sandra Bullock is in there. I don't know. It might be an introducing Sandra Bullock.
Have you seen the original?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm excited to hear what you think about it, because I recently went through this with Diabolique, where I watched the American Diabolique with Sharon Stone and Isabella Gianni and Kathy Bates. And I was like, this movie, like, it's trash, but I'm like, this movie is glorious trash. And I can't understand how it hasn't been, like, reclaimed as beautiful camp. And then it was like, oh, because they changed the ending of a classic film and no one can stand that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is fair and also kind of unfair. It's like, I don't know where, I don't know how to feel about people hating remakes because they've changed the ending.
Right. And I don't know how, where this falls with Funny Games, but I haven't seen the original version of it, but I've seen the remake, the American remake, and enjoyed it. I mean, it's very disturbing, and I can't bring myself to watch the original one, which I don't remember what country it's from, but something I feel like it's going to be much more disturbing than the American one.
I think that they're the same director. I think he remade his own movie. Is that right?
I don't remember. I don't know. But any hoozles, I did go to see Scream 6,
and
I was enjoying it. I was, you know, there was the suspense moments in it. Like, it had me, had my attention and everything. I'm on board with the killer's motive.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to call the killer.
Oh, interesting.
Like, very early in the movie. And
I guess that's true for several Screams, though, right?
Not for me.
Okay.
Like, I mean, and that's not like, and that's like the fun part for me.
Okay.
Like, just like trying to like figure that out. That's why I enjoy this franchise so much. What I don't like is, you know, when they talk about actors, you're playing a bad guy or you're playing a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play them as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
These people did not.
They didn't get that note.
Right, exactly. And that was really fucking with me. It's just like the acting part that they did is just like, it was subpar. That was just a lot of teasing with, you know, a certain character, which I have been like holding a torch for a long time with like, bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of little pieces dropped in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's going to happen. It didn't happen, but you know,
set up something for Scream 7.
Yeah. I mean, I have it written, so.
Oh, I have a treatment as well.
Yeah, if you guys want to get
both our names on it. Yeah.
I got it figured out for you.
Yeah.
But what I am enjoying about this franchise is that they've done a great job in melding the two generations, like us original Scream folks, and along with like the new kids with like, cause a lot of times I don't give a shit about your new actors who I don't know anything about, your new characters, your children. I don't care about them.
No, right. I love those four.
Right. But those kids are great. Like, I really like the, and I don't know their name, but Cuba's son, you know, despite his lineage, you know, I'm here for him.
I think it's Mason Gooding.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. That sounds like a name I've heard before.
Yeah. The girl from Yellow Jackets, like who plays his sister.
Is it Jasmine Savoy Brown? She's the best of the four of them.
She's amazing.
And I say that with Jenna Ortega there. I love Jenna Ortega.
Jenna's great too.
She's so good.
And even her sister, Jenna's sister. Yeah. Like, I'm here for all of this. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I am on this train ride. let's do it. Let's Scream 7. Come on.
We'll have to talk with off air and maybe with Robin out of the room, because all of my complaints about this movie are spoilery.
Yeah.
Which is to say, starts off very strong,
right?
Does not quite get there.
Yeah.
At the end.
Like, you know, the first thing I'm like, oh, they're going to, like, it would be cool if, and then it happens, and I'm like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like took it all, I was just like on board completely. I was like, yeah, all right. And then it just kind of like,
yeah. But so, still, you gave it the same score I did. It's still worth seeing.
Yeah. And it's still like, if you like the Scream movies, it's there. Like, you're going to like it. Like, you're in it for it. You're not, like, Scream versus a regular movie is just kind of like, you know, I kind of hold different level.
That's
like,
fair.
Of things. And I finally watched Breaking with John Boyega. He is an army vet or a marine vet who takes a bank hostage because the VA, it's based on a true story, the VA doesn't give him his money that he's supposed to have, but his money. It's a good movie. It's on Showtime right now. And John Boyega, even though he does come across with a lot of Denzelishness for a few moments in this, like, I don't know if it's on purpose or what's happening. It's like, I've seen this movie. This is John Q.
I am sure that John Boyega would take that as a compliment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But he's great. Yeah. Like, he does the great job. And then also Nicole Bayer is in it. I think that's her name.
From Sleepy Hollow?
Yes.
Die mad about it. I'll die mad about it.
About Sleepy Hollow being canceled?
No. About what they did to her character on Sleepy Hollow.
I stopped watching it before that.
You
happened.
Made the right choice.
But yeah, I would highly suggest that. It's a very good dramatic piece. And also Michael K. Williams. I think this might be one of the last
oh shame
things he did. I think it just came out like maybe 2 years ago, but yep. I would suggest that.
Well, I guess I will hold on to my John Wick thoughts until Robin gets there.
I apologize. Actually, no, I don't apologize. It's Colin's fault.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons, just a fun time.
Good. Yeah, it seems like it would be.
Just writing the review and I mean, this is a genuine compliment. My favorite thing about it is how bright and easy to see everything is.
Oh, yeah.
We got away from that for a very long time. And this isn't the first one because, you know, Top Gun and Avatar kind of set the post-pandemic tone for we're done with all this shadowy business.
Yeah.
But this is Technicolor. This is, you know, a very lively movie. And it's fun. It's funny. It's light. It's breezy. The whole cast is good. Chris Pine is perfectly brought in. I said the whole cast is good. Michelle Rodriguez is not good. But
okay,
she's,
can we just quickly, I'm glad you brought it back up because I do want to respond. Look, she's not an actor, but I like her a lot.
I like her as in I think I could be okay talking to her.
Okay.
But I don't, she's very one note to me.
Yes.
Well, and they made her like a stoic barbarian in Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. She's not inappropriately cast.
Yeah.
I think you might have done better, but she's fine.
She's also one of those actors. I saw her in Girl Fight, which was like one of her first big movies when it came out. Like, obviously I saw it, you know, from Blockbuster. I lived in the suburbs. But I remember being like, this woman's going to be a star. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of was. And so that's always validating. You know?
Hugh Grant is hilarious in the Dungeons and Dragons movie. It's just a lot of fun. I want to see more of them. I can get into the theory of it, but instead of worrying about the mythology of the Dungeons and Dragons universe,
people are doing this.
Oh, there's books and novels and stories. There's tens of thousands of pages of information about the Dungeons and Dragons universe in the world.
But how much of that is just like rules?
Yeah, you know what? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't. I won't.
But that's the thing. This movie doesn't do that, and instead tries to make it fun, like you're playing a game with your friends.
Right.
It puts together a crew of five or six of them, and then they're like, what if we tried this? And they try thing, and so, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, and it moves like we're sitting around.
It's not, I think that at some point I thought this movie was like, what's occurring in their imagination as they sit around a table and play the game?
No,
it's not that.
No, okay. It is in-universe. But it's, they're always, for the super fans, they're always referring to things that I'm like, I've heard that reference before.
Sure.
But it's not about that. It's about having a fun adventure time.
Got it.
So, recommended. I certainly recommend it more than Shazam Fury of the Gods, which is not bad. It is by no means a bad movie. It's funny. Some parts of it are very, Helen Mirren, to connect to Fate of the Furious, is great and really funny.
I like how much Helen Mirren likes having a good time.
Right? Yeah. They should have made these movies full comedies and not they have to save the world. There's some stretches of it I like because the villains in this are, I guess they're Greek gods.
Isn't it called Something of the Gods?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that sounds right.
Her and Lucy Liu and Oscar winner from West Side Story.
Rita Moreno?
No.
Ariana DeBose
are three Greek gods. So at one point they're like, boom, Greek stuff. And like a centaur comes out and a griffin and all of the, you know, and that's great.
Boom,
that's
Greek
fun.
Stuff is what I say when I put feta on a salad.
Right. But it's just, you know, it can't shake off like, okay, this franchise is half dead and you're the ancillary part of it, even when it was alive. You know, it feels very like yesterday's thing, both in style and in how much I care about what I'm watching. Zach Levi, I'm not sold on him. Like, there's a couple of the people, the main, there's like five Shazams in this. A couple of them are good. Zach, I feel bad because Mary Beth likes him a lot and has a picture at Wizard World with him, but I'm not sold on that guy.
No.
All that charming.
I do not have strong feelings about him. I know that he's been embarrassing himself on the internet recently in a variety of ways.
Yes, that is true, too.
Yeah. I don't have either way. It's just like, he's just kind of there. Right.
And this is the first time in a long time that I've yelled at a teenager in the movie theater. Hey, we're back. Nature is healing.
Like a real teenager?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you were like, Rachel Zegler, how dare you?
No.
Bad take.
Bunch of kids sitting next to us on a Friday night. They're talking. They got their phones out. The one immediately adjacent to Mary Beth had his kicked his flip flops off and had his bare feet up on the recliner.
No, absolutely not. I'm like, yeah, phones out talking to each other, whatever. Like, teenagers go to teenager, and then I'm like, shoes on their furniture.
Too far.
Yes.
But the phone, he's looking at the phone every 4 minutes, yes, like right adjacent to us. So I had to give the I might have just not done this, but I gave the very loud, like,
hey, could you put your phone away, please? Appreciate that.
And I thought that would shame him enough, but no, he, like, hit back. He's like, stop shaking your candy. It's distracting. I'm like, oh, my God.
Teenagers.
Now we're in a whole thing. Still managed to enjoy. That's how I know my medication is working. I enjoyed the rest of the movie and didn't just fume about it forever.
That's awesome. While we're making movie theater PSAs, can we cut back on the amount of like perfumes, colognes, smelly lotions, hair products? Because I am tasting all through Screams, I was tasting somebody's fucking perfume and I hated it. I actually put my mask on. Like, yes! I was sitting there enjoying it. And I was like, oh, fine. And then I put my mask on because I didn't want to smell it.
Maybe that lady's perfume saved you from COVID. Right, let's pretend.
But exactly.
The other day at work, I rode in the elevator with the lady who was wearing too much perfume. And then when I got home, I could smell her perfume on my clothes.
Oh, that is the worst.
Yep.
There have been, the previous time we had been at the movie theater was at an Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn. The second time I saw Scream 6, the first time Mary Beth did, where it's not as strict as it used to be, but they're still like, you are not allowed to look at a phone in here. You are not allowed to talk in here. We will have multiple PSAs before the thing. You are not allowed.
Love Alamo.
Why isn't this the rule in most settings?
Right. Like in like the big ass AMC theaters. Like, that's your job. Just do it. Just tell this fucking just God.
Don't get me started on AMC. And now the variable pricing. There's a reason I am Cinemark Platinum now, AMC. And to end on a negative note, because that's what we're here for, fucking Zach Braff, stop everything other than nice little, you need to go back to sitcoms.
I heard a radio ad that was like, from the director of Garden State. And I'm like, we're doing this in 2023? We're saying that?
I thought that too. I was like, isn't it the dude from Scrubs?
Yes. Like, the people who remember Garden State are people who liked it when they were 12, and now as adults are like, in my case, I was like 19 or 20. But yes, everybody else never knew what it was.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
His new film is called A Good Person. It is slightly better than his last film, whatever that was, only because it stars Florence Pugh and Morgan Freeman, and they're kind of dedicated to taking it seriously.
Right.
But it's just a two plus hour misery parade where she crashed a car and her fiance's sister was in the car, and, you know, now their relationship is over and she's addicted to pills and she's struggling with, and she goes to a meeting, but at the meeting is the father of the girl who she killed, and it's just 2 hours of misery. And because this is my outlet where the least people are listening, the thing I teased on the radio and in the written review, it's so clear now that he is one of those self-hating comedy people that doesn't want to be the sitcom guy and thinks that real work makes people cry.
Boom.
And so just sits around making people miserable. But he can't fucking write. His writing is terrible. His directing is worse. Yeah. There's moments in there where I'm like, this scene is lit wrong. The camera's in the wrong place. You're cutting for no reason.
Has he directed anything other than like Ted Lasso episodes in the past?
Barely any. No, he did Garden State. He did one, that movie he made on Kickstarter, which was even worse than this shit.
Oh, I have no memories.
And then this one. And this was his pandemic writing project.
Yeah. Sorry. And that's why he put his girlfriend in it.
And I want to praise her while continuing to pan him, because it is very nice that, like, apparently, like, she did press for this. They're totally cool. They're very mature. They're very mature about their breakup. Great. Good for you for being adults, and I'm very happy about that. But thank God you're away from this asshole. Bad movie.
It sounds like if any of that plot is compelling to you, just watch Causeway.
I don't know Causeway, but yes.
It's what Brian Tyree Henry was nominated for.
What I keep meaning to watch.
Yeah.
Or To Leslie, probably.
I have seen To Leslie. Mm-hmm. Different vibes.
Yeah.
But also, that's another movie with comedy guy doing serious shit. Because Marc Maron is in it.
Oh,
it's the secondary lead.
Yeah.
Doesn't even crack a smile.
Mm.
I guess he's the kind of comedian who never cracks a smile.
Go see Dungeons and Dragons. Go see Scream. Go see John Wick. We'll talk about it more later. I wasn't... The capsule on John Wick is... I'm not completely sold on it, but I'm not going to tell you not to see it.
That's kind of how I felt about all of the John Wick sequels, where I'm just like, this is great, but if you're not into this, don't worry about it.
I'll tell you it's 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'll tell you at one point I thought, I'm going to pee at the end of this fight scene, and I was still in my seat 25 minutes later, because the fight scene was continuing. But no, we'll talk about more when Robin sees it. For now, let's see what else we're going to watch soon. Movie draft next time, but this time it's a veto for me. I'm not watching New Year's Eve. Sorry.
Okay,
barely got through it the first time. Not only did I barely get through it the first time, it's on our ever decreasing holiday list. If we're going to have to do it, it should be then.
But doesn't it get vetoed for all time? Doesn't it still come off the holiday list?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that how our world
It does. We'll figure out what happens when we run out of Christmas movies later. For now, I am not watching New Year's Eve. There goes my veto.
Sweet.
Which traps us on this next one. It's a step up. I'm curious to see how I feel about this. I liked it at the time. I wonder how it ages. Will Smith is all alone, just him and a dog. It's I Am Legend.
Never seen it. Oh, cool. Boy, here we go.
Oh, wow.
You know, I don't remember because it's 16 years ago and I saw it once in the theater. But
I've
think
seen
it was,
like, bits and pieces again like recently, but I definitely saw it the one time in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, I think. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be worth another watch, fresh watch.
Yeah.
My connection is...
better than New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I would much prefer watching this movie for the first time than watching New Year's Eve, which I think I have seen.
My connection is there is a chapter in Shea Serrano's Movies and Other Things. Which dog is more important to the plot, John Wick's dog or the I Am Legend dog?
So. I think I have that
John
book.
Wick's dog.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read them. I have all three. I have his Movies and Other Things, Basketball and Other Things, and Hip Hop and Other Things. And I haven't read them, but they're all beautiful.
I know. I just have the two. I have the movies and the hip hop.
Yeah.
And I've flipped through them.
Mm-hmm. And his, this is completely off topic. What the hell was the name of it? He wrote like a 10-page action novella, like a pulp action novella about an original character being abducted by aliens. Hold on. It's called The Abduction, an Emilio Graves story of violence. And it's just 20 pages of like an action movie hero type getting abducted by aliens and then killing all the aliens in explicit detail. It's so good. Love Shea Serrano. Great Twitter follower. Yeah. Great Twitter follow, I should say. Great writer. This has nothing to do with I Am Legend. We're going to watch I Am Legend next week, and I'll say it now. This CGI looks old. Before we get to that, what was the number one song in America, April 14th, 2017?
I have no idea.
Drake!
What was being played on the radio.
Yeah, Drake is the Mariah Carey of the mid-aughts.
Not Drake.
Okay.
Ed Sheeran?
That was going to be my next guess.
It is Ed Sheeran.
Oh, wow.
I bet it's Shape of You.
The song that made everyone go, come on, Grammys, Shape of You.
That's been the answer on this show before. And I said, that's the one where they talk about putting food in your purse.
Mm.
Because it really upsets me.
I don't hate him.
Does anybody hate him? He's just there.
That's the thing. Yeah. I'm kind of like, but how did you become famous? Like, everything about you is middle of the road.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's okay at writing songs.
Yeah.
All right, so I came across a tweet today from Lovey, if you guys know who she is, author, ego booster, whatever. She's on Twitter, but Lovey, she says, I will never get over the fact that someone said Ed Sheeran reminds them of an imaginary friend.
Who said that? Because they're
someone.
Right.
Yeah. I know, right?
Like Snuffleupagus.